Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Challenge Spies, Lies, and Allies wrap-up podcast for episode 15. I am Brian Cohen. With me, as always, is my co-host, Alex. Allie, how are you?
I'm caffeinated. How are you?
I'm not caffeinated, but I'm good.
It's late.
Doing good.
It's late.
Doing good. Yeah. Fun episode. Episode 15. It's, every time I keep saying a number higher and higher, it's like crazy that like the challenge is does this, but here we are, 15 episodes in, probably four or five more to go.
I mean, I think it's been episode 14 for the last like five episodes. So
yeah, you've been like one behind. Like, yeah, I feel like daylight savings has messed with like your episode titles.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's daylight savings.
Every week it's weird. This is 13, right? This is 14, right? We'll catch up by the finale.
One time, no one cares. One time I mislabeled episode 13 as episode 14. And I've never, like, that's really what it is. It's just like one error, but I'm consistent in that error.
Right. You do it once. It's like you forget your coat on an airplane. Every time you get on a plane, don't forget your jacket.
Speaking of errors, that's not a transition into something serious. But no, we wanted to talk about this at the top of the show. I think, like, obviously we have a lot of fun stuff at the end of the show, and all of that is great. But we think this warrants emergency airtime, urgent airtime at the top, prime time space here. So big challenge news over the last week is that Leroy, I was going to say from whatever, everyone knows Leroy, challenge staple, beloved challenge member who just retired from the franchise, dropped a 30-minute and change Instagram video that I guess is also on YouTube, right, Brian?
Yes, it's on YouTube now as well.
Addressing the events that transpired that we referenced pretty haphazardly. I referenced it, so I will criticize myself very haphazardly last week. That happened with him and another former cast member, Camilla, on Dirty 30 in 2017, which there's a lot to address about this. But the fact that it's 2017, like we'll read MTV's statement. It's almost like they said 2017 as though that's a long time ago. Like,
right.
That's yesterday. 2017 is not a long time ago.
Right. Well, that was like that, whoever that Bachelorette girl was like, yeah, I learned like that was like, I didn't know who I was back then. It was like 6 months before that.
But thank you to Mari, who sent this to me on Instagram before this even really blew up. But it's hard to be a challenge fan and to not have come across this in the last week.
Right.
But if you are that challenge fan, we'll discuss it here. But I think the biggest takeaway is that if you enjoy the show, even if you didn't see Dirty 30, you should go listen to Leroy in his own words on his Instagram, on YouTube. You can Google it. I'm going to pull up his handle right now, which I should have done already. And then Cam also left something. You could check that out at I am Cam. I am underscore. And that's it playing right now while I go
is
to
see Roy
up.
Lee. Is that what it is? Is just
yeah,
like,
I think he's Roy Lee the barber. But okay. Let me just pull that up. Roy Lee with two E's, the barber on Instagram. And it's the first video right now. Yeah, I mean, Brian, we covered that season, and this is the first time, at least that I'm aware of, that Leroy has spoken separately from the show and publicly about what happened.
Yeah, I can't recall him really saying anything outside of just candid interviews and stuff like that and like the reunion and stuff like that. But other than that, this was, yeah, just a full, basically an oral history of it. He kind of watches the episode, like the way he goes through it, he just watches the episode and like fills in the blanks of what else was happening behind the scenes, what was like producers were saying to him or not saying to him, more importantly, and just kind of going, giving his play by play of the events from that episode, basically, and some of the aftermath, which was kind of a cool way to do it. I mean, it kind of seems like he, like, oh, not that he didn't remember, but like, I guess he never watched that episode in a long time. Like, he was kind of just like, oh, well, it's nice to hear these confessionals and all that stuff. But it seemed like he gave a really good account of, you know, why he was so hurt and some of the things that MTV really dropped the ball on that they've like sort of, I guess, gotten a little better at, but obviously still not by any stretch the level that they need to. And you can kind of just see like the hurt and pain, even just, you know, 4 or 5 years later now of reliving it again.
Yeah, a couple of takeaways from this for me were, one is he makes it pretty clear in the beginning that this contributed to why he walked away from the show.
Mm-hmm.
And that blew my mind, right? Because I think it's easy as viewers, as a white person, to like not realize the long lasting, or to not recognize the long lasting trauma that this was for him, and that this wasn't just once Camilla ultimately was kicked off for other events on another show, which is again unbelievable that she was brought on to that show after this. Forget being kicked off. That's like, oh, Camilla's gone now, you know, whatever. Like, no, like this, that's my own like ignorance, right? Like this stayed with him in the way that he was beating himself up for not standing up for himself even more than he did, which, you know, if he didn't even stand up for himself to the level that he did on the show, it like wouldn't have even seemingly been discussed on the show.
Right.
But to just watch him, like, this video was a lot about forgiving his former self for sort of taking it and being afraid to not get cast and being afraid to like lose the opportunity with MTV. And that was just like devastating. Like the fact that this cost us more Leroy, right? That this cost him this anguish and this trauma. It was just, you know, beyond what I appreciated at the time watching this. And the other thing I thought was really interesting, and we've been weighing back and forth with what happened with Ashley, right, is like, where is the line on reality television? I think what happened with Camilla and Leroy, and for people who don't know, Camilla like launched a racist tirade, an attack against Leroy, and Leroy explains it in the video, but like that's what happened. That's not even disputed by anyone.
Right.
That's what happened. But he equates it to a work environment, which, again, as a viewer of reality television, like, I don't think we often think of these people as employees of an employer. But I thought that was a really interesting line to draw.
Yeah, he kept emphasizing like coworker along the way, which is true. I mean, that's what they are. Like, they're getting paid. This is their job. They're getting paid. Obviously, they, you know, if you're at like a corporate office and someone is saying the things that Camilla was saying, like, obviously the would it be tolerated? That person would be fired immediately, and like there would be other things that would go on about it. And he was kind of, I think, probably intentionally highlighted that this is his job. Like, this was a corporate situation. Like, the producers was like his boss. Like, they needed to stand up for him. It shouldn't have been his place to stand up for himself, because, you know, it's a similar thing we see on all these reality shows. Like, it's not up to the contestants that have to balance the juggle, like the balance of trying to win the show and also balancing like when someone's out of line. Like, it shouldn't be on them to police it, because they have their own things to worry about. It should be the producers that are level-headed and non-biased and can step in and handle it. And like, that to me, that was like the biggest thing that Leroy, obviously what Camilla said was bad, but also he highlighted the fact that MTV just never stepped in. He highlighted that the next day when TJ came in, he was just like onto the vote. Like, they didn't even address it. That she was, like you said, cast for like the filming that they did right after it. She was only kicked out after the viewers' response of it happening. So it all made sense why Leroy was so upset. And it pains me to know that he's been harboring this for all this time. And he just couldn't take it anymore.
And to your point about how he had to sort of like speak up, it is interesting, and it is a shame that he's now had to make this video for it to really get more attention. I think he said that like fans wrote to him and was like, MTV follows you and not Camilla. And he was like, it's really not about them following me. It's like about them like supporting, like implicitly supporting Camilla based on following her and like not following me. And yeah, like he has to speak out about this. He has to relive his own trauma to once again be his only advocate. And he did shout out Bananas and Jemmy in particular, and some other cast members who were allies to him in that moment and continue to be. But I really appreciated his willingness to do this and take this on, but also his call to action at the end of the video. And again, we really encourage you to watch it. He said, you know, you can't have these people on who do things like this, and then you can't ban them and bring them back on when you think the climate has changed or things have calmed down, and try to sneak them back on. And I thought that was an obvious conversation about Jordan, mm-hmm. you know, there's probably others, but Jordan in particular, who was rumored to be cast on All-Stars 3 after being on like this, like fake Giannis or temporary Giannis, for no Big Brother hiatus. Yep. I know the word, from, being cast. So I, you mm-hmm. know, I thought, that was a great use of this platform, of his platform to make a lasting impact. That it's, you know, it's a shame that he had to go through the last 5 years of doing the challenge with this hanging over him, but to make a difference moving forward.
Yeah. I mean, it just highlights again, just how amazing Leroy is. Like, he's just like the perfect representation that you would want to share these points of views and get it across, and just like he just handles everything so perfectly, and he's just like an awesome guy. And it sucks that, you know, selfishly for our purposes, we're just not going to have him on the show anymore, and for his purposes that he obviously had to go through this and other stuff, so it just sucks. But Leroy is just an incredible person, and that with this video just re-highlights that again.
Yeah, and MTV responded in two tweets that I have.
Did they now follow him? Did they at least
I didn't check that.
Unfollow Camilla and follow him? Let's see.
Oh my god, can you imagine if their response was like, we've now followed Leroy? MTV and Beauty Mary were saddened by Leroy's recount of his experience on the challenge in 2017. We apologize to Leroy, a beloved member of our family. While we sought to support cast and address the incident on air at the time, it is now clear we didn't do enough. We have learned from this experience and are continuing to double down on our education programs for all cast and crew to ensure a safe, respectful, and inclusive set free of discrimination and harassment in any form. Now, this immediately, I feel like we have to do the update on where the Ashley and Josh situation stands, right? Because I feel like they're in an immediate, I don't know if Leroy didn't mention, at least that I'm not remembering in the video, that this was like in any way related to that.
I don't think he even said what necessarily even prompted this, right? Like, I don't think there was.
Well, I think he kind of alluded to like maybe the fact that fans brought to his attention that like MTV was following her and not him was like
right.
part of it, you know. But also he says like I was afraid to like lose these opportunities, and now he's not on the show anymore, so he can like speak freely. Yeah, of course. Like, of course, you would be afraid to speak up and speak like to the authority and say like, this is wrong. You've done the wrong thing. And for fear of being retaliated against. Like, anyway, after Ashley handled the tweets, Brian Scally sent us like TikToks of I don't know if this was like a video, an Instagram live, what this was, of Ashley basically saying like, look, I didn't use any slurs, and like, I didn't mm-hmm. say anything that 1,000 people haven't said. And like, it's the backpedaling for me, honestly.
It's the bar on the floor for me.
Yeah, exactly. And then she tweeted, I have not once tried to defend my actions, nor am I going to ever. I don't know what came first, the Twitter or the egg here, like the Twitter or the video we saw, but, mm-hmm. I watched you on recording try to defend your actions. Like, I don't really get it. I have not looked for sympathy or even talked about what happened. I've never called anyone bullies, just said my friends were not on 34. I will never stick up for my idiotic words and actions, but I will die on this hill knowing my actual self and heart are not the narrative the gang is trying to portray. What? And of course, I don't expect my friends to stand up for my ugly behavior, although I have stood up for others' gross actions. Right there is like, it's the excuses for me. And then I think we speculated last week, like, is this another instance of Ashley being protected over Josh in the way that Camilla was protected over Leroy? And Josh has put in Instagram comments that he wishes he was allowed to speak on it and he wishes it was aired. So there's that.
Maybe it'll come up at the reunion then. If you wanted to highlight it, that it would fit there if he wants to have a longer conversation, if they allow him to. Maybe we'll see it.
Yeah, not to equate any pain or any actions or Leroy and Josh, but I do think if people are listening, if people in power are listening to Leroy, Josh will have a chance to speak and be supported at the reunion. It's not the same incident, but it's just like people need to be able to like express what happened. And honestly, in the Ashley situation, I'm not the arbiter of what's right and wrong, but like, do I think it is there a world where they'd be able to air this out if Josh wanted to, and Josh is saying he wants to, and that she might be able to like get into a place where she's able to come back and we have sort of old school real world learning? Maybe. You know, I just think like the burying of it and the pretending it didn't happen and then the tweeting and then the her making videos is like not the way to, even if she doesn't come back on the show, it's like not the actual way to make like a change here.
Right. And the problem is like, who trusts MTV at this point to handle the editing of it properly and like the confessionals of it properly and the aftermath of it properly? Like, they would probably screw it up. So like, you could say like, oh, probably it would be better if they couldn't do it, if they like for the general good, but like who knows if MTV would be able to even do it properly.
And look, to your point, we were talking a little bit before we got on here. You know, it really wasn't that long ago where you could pretty much say whatever you wanted and you weren't going to get sent home for words. I mean, maybe like threatening. Like, I feel like Ashley, when she got kicked off the Real World, was sort of more verbal. Like,
I think the what sparked it was when she like threw oil at someone. I think she was like saying, "I'm going to own your family,"
and
like
something.
That was fine. Yeah. Yeah, it was until she like threw oil at someone that like something happened.
Yeah, for some, it feels like an amount, but even that became like a house vote, so it wasn't even like right. She was sent home. Like, she potentially right. would have been allowed to stay, at least from like a viewer's perspective. Yep. So I think like we're maybe. Where we say MTV has moved the needle, and I think we addressed this like earlier on in the season. Maybe it was just when Ashley got sent home last week. It's been a minute. Mm-hmm. Like I mm-hmm. said, I've been on episode 14 for 6 months.
Right.
You know, they have been moving forward in terms of lowering the bar to the right level of like what gets sent home, recognizing verbal abuse as something that can't stand and something that can't be tolerated. They have not gotten it perfect, but I do believe, and I hope we never have a situation where we see this happen, but I do believe that if the same situation happened right now, Camilla would have been sent home, and it shouldn't have taken like on the shoulders of Leroy that this had happened. But I do think we have moved into sort of a better direction. Again, not perfect, with plenty of room to improve, but
yeah, and like I said, there really is no clear like answer to a lot of, like, some things are clearer cut than others, but some things aren't. So like it that's what makes it the balancing act like so tricky. But it just like the waffling some back and forth and MTV screwing up, sometimes it's hard to give them the benefit of the doubt when something like this might be in a little more question than some other things.
All right. Well, with that, it is funny because when I'm watching All Stars, it's like, I just wish Leroy was on All Stars. And after seeing this video, it's like, okay, it seems like that would be at the expense of his sort of mental health. Not sort of, event of as expense of his mental health. He seems really good. Yeah. Corey made an Instagram that he's like done with the challenge for now. And Leroy commented like, that's the best decision you could make. It doesn't seem like he's jockeying to get back on.
You never know. I mean, it's like, maybe this will turn into like a nice cleansing for him. And then in like a year or two, but like some of his close friends start doing it and like he can get convinced to come on. It's like a shorter amount of time. You never know what might change in a year, 2 years, 3 years down the line. So you never know.
To the extent that it would be good for him and totally his option, and I hope he's in a great financial place and he just wants to do it for fun, like all of the good things. Wow, I like want to drop him right into All Stars. Like, it would just be so good.
Well, Devin wanted to drop Tori like out of the game. She's very upset with close buddy Tori with how she acted all episode.
Yeah,
I tapped at a transition. It wasn't great, but
it's interesting, right? Because like the Emerald team is now like reeling from what happened last week when Amanda infiltrated, and they're like complaining like Amanda's a dishwasher, not a cook. CT's approach is like, I want an army of dishwashers. I want to be the only cook. I want everybody else to be my Sue. So I thought that was interesting that like that became an insult for the Emerald team.
Yeah, it was. And this was just a fantastic episode again for Amanda. She wasn't like in it a lot, but just her in the background, her confessionals. Like, she has been so fantastic. I think she's like, for the general population being viewed this way, but she's just been so great, so funny, just the top notch stuff all the way around.
Well, it's like early game, like Priscilla. Like, if we didn't have Amanda now, we'd have nothing.
Literally nothing,
but like close to nothing, very little joy, even though she's like evil. And I say evil in quotes, like she's relishing this villain role this episode. But yeah, we would be lost.
Yeah, no, it would not be great. It would not be great. But Tori trying to make the best of the Ruby situation, giving her Corey impression of like the Ruby speech has heard this. Ruby team has heard this speech now countless times. It's like it's probably falling on deaf ears for anyone wearing those colors.
See, you know, I loved this. She comes in as this Ruby superhero. This is me. Like, this would be me. I've been like pounding this drum all season. It's momentum. The worst thing about Ruby is their attitude. I think if Nani, well, maybe Nani, I feel like if Casey ended up on Ruby, she'd be like, I'm going to throw this mission, get down there and like do Devin's bidding. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's not fair to say, but I think she's more likely. This is the most I've liked Tori in three seasons, that she suits up with Ruby unironically. She's not even saying to camera, like, well, I'll like do this and then I can't wait to get back. Like, she's like, this is my team. I've got to protect these guys. I'm cutting deals for them. Emerald is dead to me. Not dead, you know. And like, that's what she should be doing. That's the name of this game. And I was so pleasantly surprised to see her do it.
Yeah, this is Tori's, one of Tori's best episodes in a very long time. Start to finish, how she stood up for herself with Devin, how she tried to do, like, she did her best in the challenge. She tried to win like that, which is sometimes not saying a lot, but here, I guess it is saying something. But she dove in full throttle with the Ruby team. Didn't help, didn't work, but she was in the mix.
Well, you can lead a Kyle to the dynamite, but right, you can't make him take it from Emerald.
Or he'll have it blow up on himself.
The thing with Amanda, while she's amazing, is I understand the life of a nurse in COVID and a new mother is very busy. But like, has she ever seen the show? We got a bunch of tweets about this. Like, the final isn't about running. It's about checkpoints.
So if I could be Amanda's PR for a little bit, just to offer the spin zone to the media frenzy that is facing her, I would say this. It is about running, but a lot of the times the key points of a final are how you do in the checkpoints. You can't be so bad at checkpoints, which we've seen for reasons why, like, a Tori hasn't won or a Corey hasn't won, because they have failed at those checkpoints. Either they fail at the puzzle or they screw up, they get lost running, or they do other things that cost them to do it. So you do need to be good at checkpoints, at the puzzles and all that stuff. But you also need to be able to at least moderately run, or if you are an exceptional runner, you can overcome stuff like that, which we saw with like Amber last season. So like, you need to kind of be good at both, but like, you can't be horrific at one of the two of them.
I can't run for shit. Okay, I very selectively curse on this podcast, and that's the one where I think it's worth cashing it in. I cannot run for shit, but you know, they're running around the backyard now. It's a big hill. I would not want to run around there. Certainly not with Josh, certainly not in the morning. But if you can't run around that hill in the morning with Josh, you can't run enough for the final. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like he's saying, let's do a 25-mile run up the Alps in freezing temperatures, like, whatever. Yeah. But her conviction, you know, good for her. She stays strong in her conviction.
I mean, the way she said it, I was like, yeah, she's right. You don't need to run. All you need to do is the puzzles. You're right, Amanda. So I believed her. Maybe she knows what TJ's final is a little bit more than we do. Who knows?
It's funny because Amanda convinced you that she was right. Emmanuel convinced me that the phrase might be my ass is on the wall, or it should be, instead of my ass is on the line, my ass is on the wall.
His ass is in the jackpot.
You know that song that's like, put your ass on the wall? It's a different meaning. It's a different meaning.
That sounds like a different meaning.
You don't know that song? Let me look that up.
I don't think so.
But it's in Get Low. No.
Oh, sorry.
But they
get the wrong audience. Someone will know. I'm the wrong audience, but people listening's the right audience.
Wait, but you don't know the song Get Low, though? Irrelevant.
I don't know song titles. If I heard the song, I'd be like, yes, I know it.
Okay,
I don't
know the names. Lyrics are Get Low, Get Low, Get Low.
I need a melody.
To the window.
Okay. Yes, I know that song. I know that song.
It's really unbelievable that you don't know Get Low by name.
I'm it's like a fatal flaw of mine. If you say like a song name, I'd be like, I don't know what that is. And then if I hear it, I'd be like, oh yes, I immediately know what that is. What can I say?
Okay, I can't find, it's funny because I put your ass on the wall lyrics and Get Low came up, but that does not contain those lyrics, Google. All right, maybe by Challenge All Stars podcast I'll have that.
Perfect. little teaser. So I thought, I was getting very excited because we get a great scene of CT and Tori collaborating, understanding that, all right, Emerald is full squad, we're combined, like almost equal to them, we have to work together. CT is like, I'm gonna help you win, if you do that you protect me. Ruby's looking pretty good. Nobody else is looking pretty good. He might get his win. They have a full plan to work together.
I always forget. I'm like, why were you so excited by this? Like, I literally always forget.
Yeah. I mean, look, his streak started. I think the challenge that said he last won when someone threw it to him. So I was like, all right, he's going to win again by someone. Like, they're collaborating, but they all count. It's a cancel the line driving the stat sheet. But what's even here, two teams working against one. Just couldn't make it happen.
Yeah, can you back up for a second? Put your ass on the wall for a second.
Okay.
If you CT's plan was I guess he didn't know the challenge yet, right? Because once you get to the challenge, I mean, we'll talk about the Kyle of it all, but it becomes more like Ruby or Sapphire are going to win. They're both going to target Emerald, and then whoever wins. But like CT is sort of suggesting, I'm going to throw it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then what is the plan from there? He just thinks no one's going to call him down directly, but he is willing, seemingly, to lose Logan. Let's say an Emerald person goes in. Let's say Ruby won and Emmanuel goes down. He's not going to call out Logan. Well, then that would be very interesting.
Well, I think in CT's mind, the plan would be this. So Ruby wins. I don't think they would vote in Emmanuel. I think he would want them to vote in someone like Josh. And then Josh calls in Logan, and he figures Logan's just going to wipe the floor with him. So everyone's safe and Logan stays and nothing changes.
So I think Emmanuel would have been the house vote. I don't think that Josh would have gotten the votes to be the house vote. But whatever, that didn't happen.
Well, there's no house vote. It's the Ruby vote. So Ruby's what? Tori?
I'm sorry, the Ruby vote. But even so, okay, so it's Nelson, Kyle, Tori. I mean, that's a big betrayal from Tori, especially the way she breaks down after she gets it from Devin.
Well, I mean, Tori was definitely not going to throw this into vote in Emmanuel, so that wasn't going to happen. And
I don't know. I don't really know how loyal, like, who she's more loyal to, Emmanuel or Devin or Josh.
I think you're probably more loyal to the person you're hooking up with, I would think.
I think you're probably right, but I think Tori would probably default to either A, it's 3-1, and I couldn't really do anything, or I burned my vote or whatever, / you betrayed me, so now I've got to vote you. Okay, so it's Josh. But even CT has to know, it could be any given Sunday, he's lost to Jay, you know, like, he's seen it all. And I think he's willing to go down to Emmy and
himself.
Yeah. Like, I think
you said it
best
last week. I think he's willing to go by himself. He'll take on everyone. He's just like, just get me to the final. I'll worry about it when I get to the final. Just get me there. I don't care if I'm with literally a producer and I'll figure it out. It's fine.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Well, he's good at running and he's good at checkpoints. So by Amanda's standard, he's got it all.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to I think this is my favorite challenge name of all time, Boom Raiders. What a great throwback.
It's great, great name, great challenge. It actually got me thinking, the fact that they were kind of already looking to conspire and work together. Do you think they're still getting clues to what the challenge is? Because a lot of these challenges, like, there's no way to work together. Like, you know, you're doing that like puzzle where you're collecting the things in the water. Like, you can't work together. So maybe they got a hint that there was something like this that they could even work together on. I wonder are they still getting clues in the sidekick, if that's a thing.
When you're saying still getting clues, I'm like, are you really reaching back for like 30 years?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. You
don't think so? It's interesting. I think this ended up really being convenient. like, I'm trying to think of what the challenges have been. And can you, like, I
most
can
of them, I feel like you couldn't work together. Most of them, it's like you're just doing it all on your own team, or like even the individual matchups. I mean, you could throw it, I guess, there if you were paired up together. But other than that, really, not really.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're getting clues. Maybe CT was just like offering a branch of like, if this happens, this happens. And then like, but if you happen to win or I happen to win, we're going to target Emerald anyway. Like maybe this was just a preliminary deal because I know he's been taken good care of on Emerald by Emerald. And like, maybe he's worried with the shakeup, and Tori's very strong, and Amanda, he has no faith in. So like, maybe he thought Ruby would have a chance.
Right.
Unclear, but it does work out. And I, you said you liked this challenge. I liked the challenge. I think the challenge was totally saved by the fact that they were able to process what was happening and fight verbally during the challenge.
Yes. So even before that, when they're going through the rules, I pull up a question from Mike. He says, in an effort to bring some positivity to the questions and comments here, the way they edited Big T explaining the challenge, like it was a news report, was very fun and a refreshing take, especially compared to Big Brother, which does a terrible job. But yeah, did you catch that? How Big T was like narrating the rules of the challenge? I thought it was actually very funny, too.
Yeah, shout out to Mike for making it positive, because honestly, they've been doing that a lot, not in the same editing way, but they've been doing it where like they explain the challenge, they go to commercial, and then usually Casey from the newsroom, like somebody is just restating the rules. And I'm always like, these episodes could just be an hour and we could cut this out. But I'm glad Mike and you enjoyed it. I didn't not enjoy it, but that's always my first reaction.
And for the rules of this challenge, like this was one where I feel like they heard our advice. It wasn't like fully normalized for the number of people. There was an advantage to having more people. You can like rest people and have, you know, it gave a little more of a time in between. But it wasn't such a huge advantage to have six people compared to three, because there was only one person going at a time. So I think this was like the perfect balance of giving them a little bit of advantage, but also making it balanced. And it kind of helped everything.
Agreed. When I first saw and heard about the challenge, I thought it was going to be like continuous, and I was like, okay, or like multiple people out and like multiple people blocking, that kind of thing. Like, but you know, when you first hear it, you don't really understand. I will say, in terms of viewing, I had no idea like what was happening. Like all the dynamite
confusing.
Was the same color. Were the little strings different colors? I don't know. I didn't think it was effective. I thought it was hard to watch, but again, I enjoyed the shit talk.
Yeah, but like you said, the rounds in between were great. Like you said, to kind of level set and have people react to what they're doing. I don't know if that's something they could bring to additional challenges along the way, but I thought that was very cool that it was almost like three challenges all in one, and everyone could just like fight how it was going on. Because you got Kyle doing his thing in the first heat that led to a big blow up. Tori catching heat from Emerald also, which was a lot of fun. And then, seeing like Emmy, I guess, was like the hero at the end to pull off the win. But I thought it was a very entertaining challenge. It had me captivated.
I have to start complaining about Emerald, because again, like Nani being like, oh, it's obvious that a deal was made. Like, no, girl, you've won every challenge. Like, it's obvious a deal was made. Like, Ruby and Sapphire's like only chance is to be depleting you. Like, I just like didn't. I'm so annoyed. They're so entitled. It's like, I'm so sick of it. I'm glad to see them take a hit here, honestly. Spoiler alert. But let's talk about Kyle here, because he's sort of the star of the challenge unintentionally.
Yeah, so the plan that Sapphire and Ruby had was they would basically, each of them would only be going after Emerald. They would be stealing their sticks or whatever it is you were taking, and they would only go after them. So, and ideally Ruby would be the one to win, but I guess if Sapphire ended up winning, I don't know how they would have sorted it out. But the plan would be for Ruby and Sapphire just to make sure Emerald does not win. And then Kyle, so he says he gets confused and mishears about what he's supposed to do, and he takes one from Sapphire, and that causes just absolute chaos amongst those two teams.
Now, the only possible way that this makes any sense is if he was trying to still work for Devin as his best friend, and he doesn't really care. He's going to go in pretty much regardless. He doesn't think Ruby's going to win, so I'll throw Devin a bone. But like, we usually, like when he screwed them over the last time, we heard him explain it in the confessional, or we would see Devin in a confessional be like, Kyle's my guy. He's still like, where was the explanation here?
Yeah, so Patrick MS, is there a world where Kyle did genuinely just mess up? We know the IQ level of these contestants is not always the highest. Should they have just been using the colors in the bunkers to know where to go? So yeah, you don't think you thought he was being that he just messed up? Like he
I'm just complaining that we didn't get the explanation, but I don't think he messed up. I mean, I think it's more justifiable that he messed up in the last one where it was like hard to judge which team was actually doing the best or the worst. This is like, give the ball to Harold. Or what was it? Mm-hmm. Give the ball. What is it? Hey, Arnold quote? Like, not Harold. Even
oh my God.
Trevor. Give the ball to Trevor. It's so easy. Like, go take from Emerald.
But that's that's what makes me think he did just genuinely have like a brain fart and just mess up. Because it's also so obvious that like he was taking it. It was one person at a time. So there's no like chaos where you can hide in. It's like he couldn't be that stupid to think that no one would pick up on it. So I think he genuinely just had like a brain cramp where he was being told just like he was probably hearing like don't go after Sapphire, go after Emerald. And his brain just like flip flopped it in his head for some reason. And he went after Sapphire instead.
I don't, but like, again, maybe to your point, it's like, why would he even do it? Like, is really like one stick of dynamite for Devin going to like save your friendship? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But he caught a lot of heat. And then poor Nelson also so frustrated. You could just hear in his voice how defeated he is. Super knocked down. He wasn't knocked out, but super knocked down.
So next week, if he loses, we're at 50. He's at 49.
Yep. We'd be at 50. Wow.
All right, get your champagne on ice either way. it's celebrating 50 or celebrating one.
Uh-huh.
Oh, insane.
It's crazy.
Why was Josh mad at Kyle?
I don't know.
That blew me away, because like Kyle's the only person who helped you even remotely.
Josh has to get upset about it. If he's not involved in it, he just has to get upset. Him and, Kyle called Devin the sensitive Sally, but I think they're the Sallys together. The sensitive Sallys, Josh and Devin.
So later, Sapphire wins. Tori, Devin, Josh, Emmanuel group up. Devin is saying, I don't think I'll spoil my own take. I do not think that Devin is in the right here, but I don't think he's as wrong as he was last week when he was mad at Amanda.
Yeah, because this week there is some logic to why he's upset. Here he's like, it's a guy's day. So for Tori, there is no downside to losing. You can't go home. And his mind is, you know, we're obviously you want us to win. We want we all want to help each other and win. So if you throw the challenge to us or at least don't deliberately try to make us lose, you know, we'll be safe. And then we can all, you know, keep our harmonious nature together and work together. So I do understand it, but it is still just so like pompous and arrogant that he would think that everyone that he's friends with has to work with him to make sure he's safe and has to win. Like, if you have to go into elimination, that's part of the game. You have to try to win. So the fact that everyone that you're friends with, Amanda, Tor, all these people are going to just make sure they're helping you is crazy.
Agreed. I think he's got 10%, maybe less of a leg to stand on, 5 to 10% with the guy's day. However, Tori sets it up perfectly, makes a great point. She cannot go down to Big T and Logan or Nelson. You know, like, she can't leave the Ruby Cell vulnerable to go in and lose a guy. And worse, if like, I don't think Nelson would do this, but let's say Logan, I don't think Logan or Nelson would do this, or Logan's on his team, Kyle, sorry. There's a world where Kyle would pick Nelson or Kyle go home, and then the other guy defects to another cell, and you've got Big T and Tori. Like, Tori has a lot to lose here 1 week from now. And so that's why I think 90 to 95%, it's bullshit for Devin. Exactly what you said. Everyone's got to pay the piper. Devin is in such a good position because Josh is still the layup number one of the group. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying Josh is a layup at all. I think like if CT is giving the stamp of approval, he's impressed. We're all impressed by Josh. But of the field, I think Logan's leg maybe is rested enough. And the way he beat Corey, I think, has people a little shook. People probably think Josh is the number one target to take out. Maybe Nelson. But like, Devin's behind Josh probably in that, as is sort of demonstrated. I mean, I guess Kyle wouldn't have picked him friends. I'm not making any sense. Point is, he's got a meat shield, a layup shield in Josh. That takes a hit this week. Fine. Mm-hmm. you're getting close to the final, and people are going to start thinking, I want Devin to stay. I want to run against Devin. I want to send someone in who's going to wild out and pick CT. Maybe that's Emmanuel, you know, like maybe we can work some manipulation here to like narrow down the field. He's in that great sort of like Jenna and Jay spot where like people are going to want you later on. And if you have to go in, you have to go in, and that's it. I have no respect. There are no skulls. There's no punching your ticket, but this is the game. You've worked a great social game. No one can take that from you, but enough already.
Yeah. I mean, the truest thing he said was, not that he hasn't played the greatest game ever, but in his words, he's like, I played this great game and it sucks to see it all crumbling down now. We're so close to the final. And that's like the truest thing. He just feels it all crumbling down and he's like scared and playing panicked, and he just doesn't want to be the one to get knocked out right before a final, when he knows there's not a lot of times that you run a season over and over again. There's not a lot of seasons where Devin is in the position he's in now. So he's like, this is probably the best chance I will ever have to win this show, and if it all comes crumbling down, that would just be devastating for him.
And we speculated on that last week, right? And it's relatable, but that's any reality show, is like you build these relationships, you build your social game, and you hope that the people that you're riding with are going to ride with you. But I do think the arrogance is going to make it really easy to call him down from someone like a Nelson or a CT, you know, like somebody who's not Kyle basically is going to have every excuse to call him down because he's being an asshole. Whereas like Amanda says, like, oh, you're the reason that every single person, when he makes that speech at deliberation and says like, I've protected everyone in this room.
Right.
Get the hell out of here. Yeah. Like at some point you're taking away everyone's age. Some people you didn't protect. Big T had to go in. What do you have to say to her?
Same with Amanda. I love Amanda too. She was like, what did you protect me? That's complete BS. I wish she would have just said it to his face, but it's okay. Confessional works too.
She probably did say it to his face.
Probably.
Calling Tori one of my best friends. I didn't expect this from one of my best friends.
Right.
I'm sorry. I've been watching this show a long time. Your whole narrative with Tori is that you're like playful enemies. There's no world where she's one of your best friends.
Well, in his defense, Tori did then start like on her knees begging to not have Devin.
Oh, yeah. Well, she fell for the manipulation. She got guilted. But like, I'm sorry. That was bullshit from Devin's perspective. He would betray Tori in a second. He did it last season. Or was that earlier this season? I don't even know where I am anymore.
I did enjoy the CT and Kyle conversation. That like felt like, I don't think I've realized how seemingly close CT and Kyle are. It was very funny. If Kyle felt like the me in the situation of like trying to convince you that we're friends, he was like, no, CT, we are friends. You can say what you want, but like we're friends. That kind of feels like how I am a lot of the times, like making sure you know that we're actually friends. So like I related to him with that situation.
It's funny. I thought about this, but not just with you. I thought about this with almost everyone in my life. This could have been me and them. But I first of all, I love CT saying, you want to throw me to the wolves? I am a wolf.
Like, he wants to throw me to the wolves. It's like he's friggin' Heisenberg. He's the one who knocks. It was fantastic.
But yeah, I mean, it's interesting because I do think the way that Kyle is in confrontation is he just sort of takes it in the moment. And then he's great at articulating it in confessional, but I don't know that he has, and this is totally fair, like the ability to like, just like respond to CT right away. You know, like he's making more sense in the confessional than he was to CT's face. And I think it genuinely hurt him. So like that also plays a part in it. But CT is like, you pulled the first punch. You didn't execute the plan perfectly. So now I'm sorry, you're done. And Kyle says, like, you do this every season. Absolutely 100% right. This is exactly textbook CT game. Like, look for one reason that you can flip without looking like a snake. Make that person look like the snake and then be the snake that you claim the other person is.
Yep. But then CT played it so perfectly where he purposely was getting louder and louder to making sure, I think Kyle caught on to it, but that he was getting louder and louder so the whole house can hear him like defending everyone else in the house. Like he was saying like, oh, Kyle's a snake. He was just reinforcing the belief that so many other people have in the house. So they're listening to like, yeah, CT, he knows what we feel. See, Kyle is the snake. He does all this. He screws people over. So again, CT's like getting the case against Kyle built by him and agreed upon by the house.
He is a brilliant opportunist. And this is CT's game. For anyone who's like, oh, CT just like gets a pass. And we say this too, but like, here's where CT shines, like right here in this little nugget.
Yeah. He was like, why should I throw in Emmanuel or Josh? Like, they've protected me the whole season. And like, they're like, yeah, we have protected CT and we will continue to protect him. He's recognizing that we're protecting him. So like, CT is a genius at this. He is. He's just so smart.
And Kyle's ass is on the wall. So of course, like, people are going to, he's going to throw out every other name besides his. So yeah, you're right. Like, getting loud about it and making him, like, Josh and Emmanuel are going to get hot about it. But like, if they were up against the wall too, they would be throwing out every name. Like, of course CT's able to defend them. It's just, it was just a masterclass in strategy. If I were Kyle, I would just never talk to CT when my ass was on the wall.
No. Keep it when only when your ass is on the ground. When that it starts going to the wall, keep your mouth shut.
CT's such a hyena. Like, he goes to the vulnerable and he just works them.
But he's like, he's a hyena, then he can morph into the lion and then eat the other hyenas. He's like just the best. Like, he's just showing again and again why he's just so freaking good at the show.
All right. I think we talked about deliberation mostly. Kind of useless. I mean, the part I really liked is Kyle gets emotional when he gets sent in, and Amanda, I think, gives a really great pep talk to him.
Yep. Yeah. Focus, tell him to focus on who you're playing for. She had a great line of saying, you know, screw all, like, don't worry about the friendships you made here. You have a baby on the way. You have a family to provide for. That's like your 100% focus. And I think that really hits home for Kyle. So it was a very good bonding moment between the two of them.
Well, that's the best part, because then Kyle goes to the lair and picks Josh. And I don't think it was because of Amanda's speech, but like, then Amanda makes this big overdramatic, like, oh my God, no. And it's like, Well, what did you think you were saying when you were saying, like, don't do what the house wants?
Right.
You were saying, don't pick Emmanuel, pick Josh.
It's funny, because like, I mean, I think he was probably going to pick Josh almost any, because I think there's very few eliminations that I think you would rather go against Emmanuel than Josh. But like, I did appreciate him at least offering some logic, where like, he was looking at the structure. He's like, this seems like a balance agility type thing, so obviously you want the goof and not Emmanuel. So like, maybe if it was just like a pure the pure side is that what I said but like, unless there was something where it was like a pure size thing, like maybe you would want the goof, but it's otherwise like, you're not gonna pick Emmanuel here. So It was an easy cop out.
Oh my God. This elimination, though, it made me laugh. Another great line from Tori: this elimination's called Burning Bridges, which is right up Kyle's alley, because that's what he does every season. Yeah.
Yep, that was great. And again, they have to put some type of fire in everything. I thought this was, again, also a very great elimination. This is one I would love for them to keep in the rotation. It was like very cool. You had to jump off a plank and ring a bell, which I thought added a whole new layer that I didn't think would be adding that much, the ringing the bell, but it really made the whole challenge. Jump off and ring a bell, collect the plank, and you had to build out a bridge that were 16 planks.
I loved this elimination. I thought the bell, exactly what you're saying, the fact that like, in a momentum based challenge, to have to make people like stop,
yep,
their own momentum and like think and have sort of a little bit of a mental game without it being a puzzle. And then, yeah, like the excess like stress and anxiety and labor of having to like go again if you miss the bell. I really, really liked this challenge. Yeah. I thought it was very successful.
Yeah, the fact that the bell was like swinging back and forth when you would hit it, like it was a sturdy structure of the bell, that it would be moving, you'd have to time your jump, that you would miss it. And I was surprised at how often they seemingly missed the bell. I would think after like the first couple, you would understand like the cadence of it, of how to hit it. But I guess when you're just like that exhausted and stuff, you maybe start to lose it. But I was a little surprised about how often they both seemed to miss it.
Yeah. It looked exhausting. It read on TV. Like you said, the bell could have been a success or a fail. It was a huge success. But I wasn't surprised that Kyle won. No disrespect to Josh. He did well. Gets a good goodbye from TJ. Of course, we'll see Josh again. I was a little surprised at how like quick Kyle's like, all right, I'm going back to Sapphire. Goodbye, Logan.
Well, I mean, I think he threatened to do it in the nomination ceremony. Obviously, Kyle doesn't always live up to his word, but I mean, I think it's probably the best move. I mean, so what? The other option would be swap, I guess, with Devin probably for Emerald, right?
No, there's no way he's stopping Matteo. He would swap. He would probably push like Emmanuel off.
So then if that's the other option, then I think that would be an atrocious decision. So I think you have to swap with Logan and go with CT and Emmy. I think that's like the I mean Ruby's not that bad. Like, I mean, he's not going to stay there, but with him, like Nelson, Tori, like obviously you worry about Tori leaving next week when she probably beats Big T in the elimination. But other than that, I feel like this is the move you have to do.
And look, to go back to Devin's thing, I guess Devin's expectation was that next week Tori goes in against Big T and beats her.
Right.
But it's still an insane. if your plan A is for someone to make their like them go in, that's a bad plan A.
Yeah. So Adam says, is it just me or is Josh getting eliminated the best moment of the season so far? It was so satisfying. So I think we got a lot of those bad. Like, it's happy to see Josh go. Obviously, he's not always a fan favorite. I thought this was definitely Josh's best season, and I would like to see him come back.
Josh has been on an upward trajectory. We talked about it at the end of last season with Fessy. We're getting a self-aware Fessy. I don't know if Devin's coaching them. I don't know if, I mean, it's interesting. Like, as Fessy and Josh become more self-aware, Devin becomes less self-aware. I don't know if they're just absorbing his power or what. Mm-hmm. I agree. I think Josh is on the come up. This was his best season. I would not be upset to see him back. Yeah, it's, you know, what's interesting is, like, in terms of it being satisfying, I was definitely rooting for Kyle over him. I know, like, I was talking to Johnny Langan and Molly Block, and they were, I think Johnny was like, I didn't want either of them to go. I wasn't quite there. But I definitely, like, if I were to think of, like, anyone from Emerald to go home, that doesn't, like, particularly satisfy me. I don't find that particularly satisfying. If that makes sense, even though I hate them as an entity and don't want them to win.
I think that makes sense. Yeah. There's no one. You don't hate them. Like, individually, they're not that bad. But as a group, the sum is worse than the parts.
Like, I've been annoyed by Devin, but I don't want him to go home in elimination. But I don't want him to win the final either. Like, I don't want anyone from Emerald to win the challenge. So it's very basically I can't be happy regardless is what I'm saying.
I think what we're down to, I think there's. So there's another girl elimination next week. And then I think there's probably just one more of each. I think there's only gonna be one more male elimination unless they do some type of like double type thing. But they do women next week, male episode 17, last one, episode 18 is another women elimination, and then the final. So I think there's only one more male elimination to go.
Edit wise, I worry about Devin.
Yeah, I mean,
who is more likely to go home based on the edit than Devin?
Not even just based off the edit, but if Emerald doesn't win, like, I don't know how Devin doesn't get called out, and I don't know who he beats. Like, Devin would be by far an underdog against any of the remaining guys. So I he would need to win or have Kyle be the house vote, and then maybe Kyle like wouldn't pick Devin. But I don't know, when Kyle's thinking about that, he has to win the money for his kid, and he's staring down the gauntlet of facing CT or Devin. I think the choice is pretty clear.
Well, he could pick Logan in that situation, right?
I guess so. Yeah.
It'll be interesting. No, I guess Ruby would have to win. Ruby would have to win. And then for Devin to be vulnerable and Kyle to be vulnerable. Right. So he'd have to pick Emmanuel or CT. I mean, wow, that would be strange. I think Devin's going in next week. I think Devin's only hope would be, not next week, 2 weeks, would be that somehow Emmanuel goes in and they convince him that he's like an animal and he should go after CT or like something crazy, or Sapphire wins and he calls out Nelson. That's actually a possibility. So it's either going to be Nelson versus Emmanuel or Devin versus anybody else.
And it is interesting. Someone brought up a good question about how, Michelle Marr says, is Corey being gone the best thing for Nelson's game? He's not even in the conversation to go home. It is interesting that I guess once you split up that pair, for Nelson, like, he's kind of been coasting these last few male eliminations. Obviously, he's not been in the position of power to save himself, and he hasn't been targeted at all.
Yeah, shout out to Nelson, the way that he recovered from feeling betrayed by Kyle, to kind of go to him in like a guilty, like, I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed way when he bumped him. Because I do think that played a role in Kyle quickly dismissing picking Nelson. and saying, like, I promised Nelson I wouldn't. I do think that's actually something we'd have to look at. If Emerald does win and Kyle goes in, like, he's going to call out Nelson, and probably vice versa.
Right.
Yeah, definitely vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be a very interesting finish. I just think edit wise, Devin's being set up. Yes. Like, first of all, he's so unlikable, so like people probably won't be upset. I feel like once, like in the way that Tori's becoming more likable, and I'm like, oh, I am the final. Mm-hmm. Devin's becoming so irrational and unreasonable in the edit, and then it's all about how it's slipping through his fingers right before the final.
Mm. Yeah, and then that last women's, I'm assuming probably Big T going next week. That last women's elimination, like, that's setting up for like the Amanda spot, which would be so heartbreaking for her to have to go right before the final. So hopefully she can avoid that, because otherwise, yeah, it would be pretty dicey.
And I don't, yeah, I think Amanda's, I don't want, I think she's got made in the shade. I think Big T's in Trubs. She's already lost. I mean, I watched the after show. I didn't have time to watch it before we recorded. I didn't have time to watch this week before we recorded either, but I did go back and watch last week's during the week. And it's so annoying and like clickbaity. The YouTube title was like, did Big T even want to come back? And Devin was like, Big T, you didn't want to come back, did you? Like, was part of you? And she was like, maybe. Like, I don't think Big T said it like that, but right. she at least wasn't like, oh my God, no, any day on the challenge is like for me. You know, she went with the narrative that like she was ready to be done. So I don't know if that's going to factor into another elimination for her.
Right. Anything else before our assortment of games and goodies?
No, just with the drinking game, I was dying. Molly and Johnny, former and hopefully future guests on the podcast and friends of mine, were in the group text I was talking about. And they were just like, I worry about Kyle Picard this episode if Kyle's teeth is still a drinking game rule. And Molly was like, I think about it every time I see it on the screen.
So it was a big week. There were 15 drinks for the week. Two mentions of Kyle's teeth. So just two. TJ wanting someone back. Two slow motions. Five times using the wrong color. So not like the true names. There were two times talking about someone's kids. The one self-given nickname. The K-Dog. Was that for Kyle, I guess? Missed that one.
I have nothing to say about that. I can't confirm, and I want to pretend that never happened.
One challenge merch and one team infiltration. So those are the big 15 for the week.
It mention of Kyle's teeth, or it's view.
I think it's when they're like they're focused, like, and he's they get like a little shiny, little extra shine.
All right. I don't think we're adding anything to the until the final, right?
Yeah, we'll wait till the final and do a couple, like a final specific one. Yeah.
I feel like I'm on vacation. I don't have to think of a rule every week.
Yeah. Should we remove another one? Help Kyle out?
Is 15 too much? Like, I feel like 15 is fine.
I don't know, but I feel like we removed some. But I think we're in pretty good shape with ones.
Kyle, let us know if you want us to take
it. Here, Kyle, I'll toss out the remove irrelevant Ed confessional for you, so you don't have to look out for that.
What about Nelson and Corey scene together?
Yeah, we could remove that one, too. So there you go. Take those two out.
All right. Little Soch Meads for your life. Let's see. Josh said, it was a roller coaster of a season for me, but beyond blessed for the opportunity to compete on this show to ones that show me support and love from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for the kindness. I'll be back stronger. Prayer hands emoji, black heart emoji. Do we show him support and love, you think?
I think so. I said I wanted him back. That's how much more support and love can I toss, Josh?
I mean, I don't know if we've like evened out. I don't know that we show him support and love. I think we show him fairness.
I think fairness. I think we're very fair.
This absolutely killed me. Fessy said, my socks getting more airtime than some of these challengers.
Yes, Josh wore the Fessy socks during the elimination. Interesting.
This was weird from Devin. All right, challenge fandom. You've been asking. I've been taking notice, but it's up to you. Want me on Bananas podcast? Prove it. I'll accept an invitation if this tweet gets at least 1,000 likes and 100 retweets by tomorrow, 5 p.m. Eastern. So get to it. This time it had gotten 321 retweets and 2,000 likes. Kind of a low bar, 1,000 likes and 100 retweets for like a celeb. The reason I'm reading this is because Bananas quote tweeted it and said, but how are you going to accept an invitation that was never sent with a Ron Burgundy meme that says that doesn't make sense?
Yikes, not a good look there. Not a good look.
Truly good grief on that, but it's a little surprising for Bananas. I know they've had their business. Again, their fight is our biggest fight we've ever had.
Right.
But I'm sure.
I think that was just playful. Not that this fight. I think that was just like, you know, just a very easy joke to make in that type of situation. I don't know if that's actually serious.
I agree. Because it's like Devin, for what it's worth, is like the new Bananas, you know, like he's the face of the challenge, like one of the faces of the challenge. No, but you know what I mean? One of the strategists, like one of the main strategists, one of the main narrators, like he's, for better or worse, like a huge part. And I don't, you can obviously have a successful challenge podcast without having him on hashtag us, but you know, he kind of needs him, not needs him, but.
Mm-hmm. All right. I think Josh was on it this week. I saw a clip of it.
How was that?
It was just the intro, but it was good. Bananas was very nice to Josh, surprisingly.
And then next to my screen grabs, I have a Page Six headline that Ramona Singer was maskless and acting like a brat at the Diana Broadway opening. But that's just for me. That's not for the formal social media segment. That's your PBS.
Okay. I'm waiting for.
Oh, you know what, though? That does remind me, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So back to the Leroy thing. We'll bookend it here. Is like.
Perfect.
To bring in Housewives, this is more appropriate for the end of the podcast than the beginning, but it's something that this whole thing made me think
there's
of.
No, are we doing a beep beep before we get to that?
Yeah. I'm going to forget. Yeah, beep beep.
Okay. It'll be very, very quick. The only thing that happened was Josh losing the elimination, Kyle winning the elimination, but I have a bowl, so they net at the zero. We're still winning 29 to 28 and a half. So there you go.
Okay. But I like to see that.
Mm-hmm.
Better than having Kyle and one of them having Josh. Kudos.
Yep.
Thank you to Kate Stewart and Matt Stewart. We appreciate it. And I didn't want to rush you. I was going to forget.
Yeah, it was very quick, though. That was literally all this coin this week.
That's really heating up to be a very exciting finish here on the.
Yeah, so it's all going to come down to the new rules. Yeah, all coming down to the. Where everyone finishes in the final, which is how it should be.
All right. So this is not well thought out, but I have been thinking about it. And so why not just like speak into a microphone when you haven't fully fleshed out an idea? But where Leroy was talking about in the video about how it should not be, and I agree, it should not be on the Black cast members to be raising this all the time. It did make me think of this situation with the Real Housewives of New York this season, which Brian, of course you were watching.
Of course,
dedicated watcher of that.
Yep.
And they had a new housewife, Ebony, who's a Black woman who was honestly had the incredibly tall task of educating several ignorant women on the racial climate, the political climate of today during one of like the craziest years of the racial climate and the political climate in history. Mm-hmm. You know, like it was maddening to watch what she had to go through. And a lot of the audience like responded negatively towards her, or like people would be like, oh my God, Ebony always has to bring up race. Like, why can't we just have fun? Like, why? And it's like, well, because she's the only one willing to bring it up and people aren't otherwise discussing it. People aren't otherwise like joining in and bringing it up for her so that she doesn't quote have to. I say quote because like she doesn't have to. It's not her responsibility, but it's being made her responsibility because nobody else is doing it. It just made me think of Leroy, where it's like, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't, because if you don't speak up about what happens to you, you live how Leroy has been living in the last 5 years and like mad at himself for not doing mm-hmm. it. And if you do, you're Ebony and the audience hates you and the reunion gets canceled. I mean, that's not why the reunion got canceled, but you know what I mean? Like, not hates you, but you get a lot of criticism and people are like, why can't anything just be fun? And Garcelle deals with this on Beverly Hills also. So this is not a solution to anything. This is just an observation. And I thought, again, Leroy's video explains that frustration pretty well.
Yep. another good reason to check that out. Listen to this. Well, listen to that first. That's more important. And then, well, I guess if you're listening to this already, it's kind of a moot point. But I guess listen to that after this.
Hopefully you listened at the top of the show where we first put the plug.
Exactly.
But I think I'll shut up now. And then we'll immediately start talking again when we record our Challenge All-Stars podcast.
Fantastic. You can subscribe to this one and the other one, but both of them, at the robswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Cone with a C, Brian with an I underscore, and they can follow you.
I think we have like an updated link all the Rob websites have where like it has like all of the ways to subscribe, but I always forget the
amazing.
Link.
Amazing.
Neither of us know it. You can subscribe to NGOG. I didn't mean to say subscribe, I meant to say follow, but look at how I made it happen. If you want to check out New Girl Old Guy at anchor.fm/newgirlOldGuy, we had Av on this week and a special surprise pop-in guest, Alexander Chester. It was a lot of fun. I'll be back just with Kiwi next week, so check that out. And you can follow me at LashTweets.
All right. We'll be back. You could hear from us in 30 seconds if you want, talking Challenge All-Stars, or next week for episode 16. Until then, have a good one.